It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, it's all about midterm elections and the names you'll see at the voting booth, from the U.S. Senate race to some of the congressional districts. We'll hear why some folks on the ballot are running.
Moms do hard things, and we need more moms, and we need more moms doing hard things.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Midterm elections have historically served as a referendum of those in power. With Republicans controlling the White House and both chambers of Congress, that could be the case this November, especially in one of West Virginia's biggest races, the race for U.S. Senate. There are a slew of issues at play, but as Dave Mistich reports, much of the race has been about how much or when the candidates have attempted to align themselves with President Trump.
With Trump winning West Virginia by more than 40 percentage points and remaining popular here, Democratic U.S. Senator Joe Manchin acknowledges that the president swung many Democrats to vote red in 2016.
It was disgruntled Democrats that voted for President Trump that made him president.
But he also notes that Trump has been a divisive, polarizing figure.
So with that being said, we're all looking for that leadership. And leadership starts clear at the top and all of us being elected officials.
Manchin has been in and out of the president's favor since Trump took office in January 2017. His voting record indicates he's willing to cooperate with a Republican-led administration. He's broken from a majority of Democrats 28.3% of the time during the 115th Congress, ranking him number one among all 100 U.S. senators in breaking with their parties. But his challenger in 2018, Republican State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, has aligned himself closely with Trump. Morrissey paints Manchin as a political opportunist, one who will side with the president as a matter of convenience.
I'm a strong supporter of the president, and I want to help advance his policies because I think he's been good for the state of West Virginia. Joe Manchin, well, he's going to be joining the impeach, resist, obstruct crowd. He's going to go after this president. It's really clear.
In response, Manchin's campaign wouldn't say whether he would support impeachment in the U.S. House if Democrats take control of Congress. However, Manchin says this election isn't just about Trump.
Well, it's never a referendum on any one person. It's basically, what do we stand for? People want health care. People don't want to be thrown off if they had a pre-existing condition and don't want the insurance companies to be in charge.
Health care, particularly the Affordable Care Act and some of its provisions, has been widely discussed as the 2018 midterms draw closer. While it's an issue that has weaved in and out of the spotlight this election season, it's always been a big one for West Virginia. An August report from the Kaiser Family Foundation shows that 36% of non-elderly West Virginians have a pre-existing condition, putting that number just under 400,000. And Manchin's campaign has attacked Morrissey for trying to end protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Morrissey denies that position, although he's signed on to a lawsuit that would end the Affordable Care Act.
I'm a strong supporter of getting rid of Obamacare and the skyrocketing premiums. In West Virginia, premiums have risen over 160% in 4 years. That's the goal of the lawsuit. It's not to eliminate protection for those with pre-existing conditions.
The Morrissey campaign cites a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services report showing pre-ACA premiums in 2013 had jumped 169% by 2017. But a recent data analysis by the Kaiser Family Foundation shows a premium increase of 93% from 2014 to 2018 for the second lowest silver plan, which is used as a benchmark for rates. That's because that plan is used to determine the level of federal subsidies. Like everything in a debate on health care, things are complicated. But the bottom line is this. The lawsuit in question, Texas v. United States, seeks to invalidate the ACA entirely, and it would end protections for people with pre-existing conditions. There's other issues at play in this race, too, like immigration. Here's Morrissey again.
We're going to tighten the border, so I'm going to support the president, and we're going to tighten that up so we can actually have better enforcement. We're also going to put a lot of pressure on the state to make sure that there's better state police and enforcement around our own borders here in West Virginia.
Some see Trump's hardline stance on immigration as part of a larger narrative of divisive rhetoric that's catalyzed anti-Semitic acts of violence and led to the attempted targeting of prominent Democrats with bombs being addressed to them in recent weeks. Manchin says Trump's rhetoric, whether or not it's caused recent violence, needs to be reeled in.
Well, he needs to calm that down. He needs to tone that down. There's a lot of things he's done that's been good for America and good for West Virginia, and I work with him. But there's a lot of things that's not. We need to repair that. But he has to be the president of all the people.
How much President Trump might influence West Virginians remains to be seen. But with Trump coming to West Virginia yet again later this week to stump for Morrissey, it's clear the president's backing is part of the overall strategy. As for Manchin, he's relying on a familiar position as a moderate Democrat, one willing to work with Trump, but also stand up to him when he feels it necessary. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
Manchin and Morrissey have one debate scheduled ahead of the November 6th election. The two candidates will square off at 7 tonight in Morgantown. West Virginia Public Broadcasting will carry the debate live on television. Political newcomer Tally Sargent is making a concentrated run for incumbent Alex Mooney's seat in West Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. Carol Lofton reports that both candidates are running on a platform of health care and fixing the drug epidemic, but their proposed solutions differ dramatically.
Longtime Republican politician Alex Mooney has been relatively quiet leading up to the election and did not respond to West Virginia Public Broadcasting's request for an interview. But on social media, he released a couple ads that give an idea how he's focusing his campaign.
In Congress, conservative Alex Mooney leads the fight to protect the unborn, and Alex Mooney voted against taxpayer-funded abortion. Endorsed by West Virginians for Life, Congressman Alex Mooney.
Mooney is deeply conservative and a big supporter of President Trump. He originally hails from Maryland. On his campaign website, Mooney lists major issues as fighting regulations from the Environmental Protection Agency, Second Amendment rights, and repealing the Affordable Care Act. In many ways, Sargent and Mooney differ on pretty much every issue, except for the drug epidemic. Here's another clip from a Mooney campaign ad.
Alex Mooney's involvement in education, prevention, and treatment of opioid issues is going to make a huge impact on the families in West Virginia. I think Alex Mooney is very concerned about the opioid problem, not only in the nation, but also in the state of West Virginia. He has a child. He has a family. He has the same concerns that we all do with regards to this being a universal problem.
Sargent, a former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer, has also prioritized fixing the drug epidemic as a campaign platform.
There's no path towards recovery for a lot of people in West Virginia right now. And in order to break this cycle, to end this drug epidemic, we need that.
To do that, she says, the state needs more of an investment from the federal government and better partnerships between state and local entities to create inpatient treatment centers for those who need them, and then jobs for them to land in afterwards.
Where when an addict gets up off the ground and decides to go into recovery, which is a decision they have to make. I know that from my own experience with my sister, that there's a job there for them, that they can create value for themselves, stay in recovery, create value for their families and their community, and also create value for the West Virginia economy.
For Sargent, healthcare doesn't end with addiction, though. She says protecting healthcare for West Virginians with pre-existing conditions is a big priority.
We can't continue this all-out assault that is going on by Congress, that is going on with these attorney generals, that are literally using the courts and using the system to keep people from having health care.
Tally Sargent is endorsed by the American Federation of Labor, United Steelworkers, and the West Virginia Education Association, among others. Alex Mooney is endorsed by President Trump, the Susan B. Anthony List, and West Virginians for Life. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Carol Lofton.
A face new to politics is challenging Republican incumbent David McKinley in West Virginia's 1st Congressional District. Glynis Board has more.
Democratic challenger Kendra Ferche is a law professor at West Virginia University in Morgantown. She's never run for office before. Her progressive platform is focused on education, universal health care, and job creation. She says she wants West Virginians to have the freedom to stay in the state. She decided to run one day last year while doing yard work.
I was mowing the lawn in the backyard, which in West Virginia means it was on a really steep angle. I was hot. I was sweating. I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, like, how am I going to do everything? How could I possibly run for office? I can't, I can barely keep it all together right now between work and kids and all that. And there was this moment where it just hit me. Moms do hard things. And we need more moms doing hard things.
Frechette is challenging incumbent David McKinley, a Republican with a business background in construction and engineering, who has represented West Virginia in Washington since 2011. He's optimistic about national trends and those in West Virginia and says he plans to continue to focus his attention in three areas.
Healthcare, opioids, and energy and economic redevelopment, revitalization in West Virginia. I think those three things are going to, and then there are subsets obviously underneath that, but I think that if we stay on those three subjects, I think we're going to have continued success.
McKinley and Frechette both point to the opioid crisis as one of the state's biggest issues. McKinley says as more funds are now available for treatment, he wants to shift attention to studying why the disease is so prevalent.
I want to have some funds spent on what's causing people to use drugs. And it's not going to be one simple answer, because an 18-year-old is going to use drugs for one reason, a 45-year-old person another, an 85-year-old person another. But let's understand why people are turning to drugs, and then I think we can address it. Otherwise, we keep putting a Band-Aid on it, and we try to treat it that way. I want to get back to the core problem.
Frechette has her own theories about why substance use disorder is so prevalent.
People are really struggling to find work where they can make enough money to feed their families. They are working heavy labor jobs for long hours and getting physical pain that's then treated with way overkill on pain meds. We have communities that are falling apart and people aren't engaged in their community or with their neighbors like they used to be, which causes people to seek sort of pain relief and when they're feeling disconnected. This is a multifaceted problem.
Frechette wants to see a long-term strategy as well as more resources and policy changes to address immediate health needs.
So one solution I can say right now that I think we should be implementing is we need to get the federal government out of the way of our medical cannabis law. We can't safely treat pain meds unless we have a safe alternative to the pain meds we have now, and that's medical cannabis.
McKinley has not supported policy changes regarding marijuana, but he and Frechette do agree on other issues, such as a need for economic diversification in general, and that impeachment should not be used as a tool to manipulate political power. They seem to diverge on health care. Frechette is a strong advocate for universal health care, while McKinley says he's open to the idea with some reservations.
Interesting concept. I like the idea of having health care for everyone, but I want to make sure how we pay for it so that we're not bankrupting this country on it.
McKinley has taken every opportunity to try to dismantle the Affordable Care Act and has pledged to, quote, repeal any federal health care takeover passed in 2010, close quote. Financially, there's no real contest between Frechette and McKinley. McKinley is a millionaire who has raised over $1 million and spent half of that on this campaign, while Frechette is not independently wealthy and has raised and spent about $225,000. Most of McKinley's major contributions come from individuals and political action committees associated with the energy industry. Frechette's is a grassroots campaign that has focused on smaller individual contributions, as she highlighted in a recent town hall event.
The $5, $25, $50 contributions are people who are saying, I believe in you, I support you, I will vote for you. So in the last cycle, I brought in about $35,000 in unitemized contributions. My opponent brought in about $4,700. So when people say she doesn't have enough money, on the measure that I think matters the most, we've kicked his butt.
Frechette was up against similar financial odds during the primary. She won the Democratic nomination by a significant margin, despite being outspent almost 10-1. McKinley says the race all comes down to who will show up at the polls.
It's all going to be what the people think about, what the turnout is. If people want to see a change, then they need to make some changes.
Early voting ends Saturday. Election day is Tuesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Wheeling.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.